One with my Lord I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. What words we sing, what great words of hope that we have as the people of God. And as we come to look at your word today, and especially as we connect with great women of faith, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open to what it might say and affirm in our church life today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As a proud Irishman, I have no problem admitting my admiration for Queen Elizabeth II. When she visited Ireland in 2011, it was a great day for both nations. Our history has been so complicated, and yet there was a sense on that occasion that the two countries which sit side by side were closer than ever. For me, the most humbling two moments were when the Queen laid wreaths in memory of those who'd fought in the 1916 Rising, and then the next day when she laid wreaths in memory of those who had fought in First World War. Very historical moments. But the thing that endears me to Queen Elizabeth is the way that she unapologetically lives out her deep and committed Christian faith. If you take time on Christmas Day to watch her traditional speech, you will know that her faith is very much at the forefront of all that she says. How encouraging it is to hear one of the leaders of our world talk about Jesus, the light of the world, for example, last Christmas. And in a few weeks' time, in April, Queen Elizabeth turns 90 years old. It's amazing that she has ruled over the United Kingdom for over 60 years. And to commemorate that milestone, a book is being published. It's called The Servant Queen and the King That She Serves. The Servant Queen and the King That She Serves. And the book reflects her deep faith over those many years. In the introduction of the book, Queen Elizabeth writes this. She says, "I have been and remain very grateful to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness." I have been and remain very grateful to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness. In my mind, more than an earthly queen, she is a great woman of faith. Of course, there have been many other great women of faith through time. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Corrie ten Boom in more recent times. And of course, if we go back to the early days of Christianity in Ireland, we have women like St. Bridget, who play their part as women of faith in bringing the Christian faith to our land. And of course, throughout the Bible, we come across many, many women of faith. We might just skip the first one that we come across in Genesis 1, Eve. But we come across people like Ruth and Esther. We come across women of faith like Rahab and Deborah, like Mary and Elizabeth, each in their own time and in their own way, loving and serving the living God, women of faith. And as we pick up again on our journey through Acts, today I had actually planned to look at Saul the persecutor next. We'll do that next week. But I thought, as today is Mothering Sunday, I thought it would be an ideal opportunity to step back a little bit, perhaps just to search a little bit, and to see the role that women of faith played in the early church movement. Very often, unfortunately, history is dominated by what the men have done. But there are great women of faith in that early church story as well. Yes, we are thankful for people like Philip and Peter and John and Stephen. But there are many great women too, mothers of faith in the broadest sense, in the Christian family sense, who play their part in the growth of this new gospel movement, who play their part from generation to generation, building and sharing God's gospel message of love. So let's take for a few moments a look at some women of faith that are there in the Acts of the Apostles. The first mention of women comes in Acts 1, verse 14. Now remember, going back all those weeks when we started Acts, we basically are talking about a small nucleus of people. There are the apostles of Jesus there, the disciples. But Luke, who writes the Acts of the Apostles, also tells us that along with the apostles, there are the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So the women are there along with the early apostles. Now, the women, as we go through Acts, are not as prominent as the men, as we've seen. But I think that's more of a cultural thing. Going back to those days, women, I guess, in many ways were seen and treated as second-class citizens. They didn't always play their full part as they do in society today. But they were there spreading the gospel message. And indeed, like with some of the men that we've seen arrested and persecuted for their faith, there are also women arrested and persecuted for their faith. In Acts 8 and 9, Luke tells us that Saul dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Women of faith playing their part. And it's interesting because in a society that often ignored women and probably didn't have a prison for women, they were still arrested. But more strikingly is that Luke mentions three times at least that Saul persecuted women as well as men. So what that tells us, that in the eyes of the religious authorities, in the eyes of Saul, women were as big a threat as the men were, sharing their faith probably among the other women who would have listened and been influenced. Women of faith. And then as the gospel spreads beyond Jerusalem, which we picked up on last week, into Samaria and into eventually the surrounding lands again, we are told that many men and women believe and were baptized. The gospel message reaching out beyond boundaries. And then we come across an interesting story around Acts 9 or 10 when Peter raises a hard-working disciple called Tabitha. He raises her back to life. But it's also the description, she is described as a hard-working disciple, a woman of faith. In Jerusalem, as the nucleus remains to pray, we are also told that there were women praying with them. Indeed, they meet in the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, women of faith. Then in today's reading that we read from Acts chapter 16, we are told that Paul has travelled to Macedonia, to a town called Philippi. And while he is there, he looks for a quiet place to pray, to draw aside and to refresh and renew his energy. And as he withdraws to a quiet place, he comes across Lydia. And Lydia, in her own right, is a wealthy businesswoman. We know this because Luke describes her as a dealer in purple cloth, the finest, most sought-after cloth. Remember, there were no artificial colourings in those days, so to dye cloth purple was a big, big deal. And so in her own right, as a seller of purple cloth, she was a businesswoman. But Paul shares the gospel message with her, and we are told she becomes a believer. And because she becomes a believer, all of our household become believers, and they are baptized. And then a couple of significant things happen because of Lydia. Paul is offered to come to our home for hospitality, to stay and to use our home as a base where he continues to preach the gospel message. But in time, because Lydia is one of the new believers in that place, in Philippi, her home becomes a meeting place for many believers, a woman of faith. Then as Paul travels to Thessalonica in Greece, he preaches in the synagogues, and we are told he persuades quite a few prominent women to become believers. Again, in the more secular world of Greece and the Roman Empire, women perhaps are given more opportunity. But you can imagine that as these prominent women become believers, the role that they have in using those positions of prominence to tell others about Jesus. Women of faith. And then lastly, we come across, as Paul moves further into Greece and to Corinth, we come across a husband and wife who are working together as tent makers. Indeed, Paul worked with them for a while. But we come across Aquila and especially Priscilla, and they travel with Paul to a Turkish town called Ephesus. And again, you can visit that nowadays, where they work with Paul in spreading the gospel. And in fact, scholars believe that Priscilla, in her own right, was an excellent teacher, an excellent preacher, a woman who was well-versed in Christian doctrine. Women of faith playing their part in the growth and the spreading of the early Christian message. So as we reflect for a few moments on the women of faith in the early church, what do we learn? How are we challenged? What can we take away from these great women of faith then, so that we can, I was going to say, we can be great women of faith today, but that may not just apply for me, but you know what I mean. So the women in the early church, they may not have always been in the prominent roles, but we know that they help grow and change the early church. Their contribution is equally important. Working together, men and women, sharing the gospel message, they had a positive influence on the growth and the affairs of the early church. And since then, women have continued to have a huge influence in the life of churches. In today's society, thankfully, no longer just in supporting roles, but in prominent and public ways, sharing the gospel message. And it was with great delight a couple of years ago within our own Anglican church that Bishop Pat became the first woman elected as a bishop in the British Isles. What a great day that was for the Church of Ireland, recognising that in leadership in the church, even to the most senior places within our church, that women have an equal and important role to play. And as I think about this diocese, and as I think about this parish, this group of parishes, I am thankful for the role that so many women play and have played in serving God and in passing on the faith from generation to generation. And it's a real challenge to us men who are here today. We should be asking ourselves, are we involved equally in passing on the faith, especially to our children from generation to generation? Very often within the church family, it is the women that take on that role. But I would ask why, and I would challenge us men to ask ourselves why we should not be equally involved in teaching in Sunday schools and being involved in things like GFS, even being members of the Mothers' Union. Men would be welcome, or even in other ways, why we as men are not as involved as the women are in sharing and building and passing on the faith from generation to generation, a challenge for us. But in a more personal sense in this day, as we think about women of faith, we are grateful in the broadest sense for the mothers of faith. All women are mothers of faith in the church family who have shaped and influenced the faith journeys of many. And as I think upon my life, I think about my own mum who shaped my faith and encouraged me. I think about the many women in my own faith journey who have encouraged me along the way, not least the one who I spend my life with each day, my own wife, a great woman of faith. A real gift are the women of faith. Today, as I said earlier on, take time to think about those women in our lives who have encouraged us in faith, and take time to thank God for them. So as we reflect on the book of Acts and the role of women in the early church, we are thankful for the women then and through time who have served God, for the women of faith who influenced our lives, and for women of faith who serve God today. May the Lord help us all to glean lessons from the women in the early church, from the women around us, so that equally together we can build God's kingdom and share his gospel message, the women of faith in the early church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, so often when we read accounts of history, it is the men that are there. But as we dig deeper and as we look closer, we see that there are many great women of faith as well. We are thankful for them. And today in this church community, we are thankful for the women of faith. And may we together equally men and women, determined to pass on the faith generation to generation, and determined, wherever God has called us, to share the gospel message so that many will come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.